Shavuos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Vav, 4-6. Now, the Mishnah is going to, over the next couple of Mishnayos, explore the kinds of, I'll call them court cases, where if a person swears false about having testimony, whether he will or will not be liable for Shavuos Eidos. Now, the basic principle that's going to govern these is that because there's a Gezeira Shava, a limud, that connects the parsha of Shavuos Pikadon, which is really the topic of the next chapter, which is swearing regarding not owing somebody money for some financial claim, and Shavuos Eidos, the topic of our parak here, the limud is that the same way Shavuos Pikadon is only relevant if one is essentially denying a financial claim, Tvius Mamon, so too. The Shavuos Ha'edus, for which one would be liable for the korban, is only when one is denying having testimony regarding this sort of financial claim. Or in other words, let me say a little more precisely, we're talking about the kinds of claims where the person who's, I'll call him the plaintiff, the Toveya, is seeking to be made to make himself whole. He's got some financial loss, and he wants to essentially recover that loss or make himself whole, or get back what he deserves. Like we saw in the previous mission, we talked about, you know, he wants back his deposit or his loan or that which was stolen from him or his lost object. So our mission is going to, and the next couple of missions are going to explore the kinds of claims, and essentially it'll boil down to one thing. If involved in this claim is trying to make the toveya, the claimant, the plaintiff, whole to make up for some financial loss he incurred, then, and the person denies having testimony, then he's on the hook potentially for a Shavuos Eidos. Whereas if it doesn't involve essentially making himself whole, then it won't. Now, the main category that the mission is going to explore here in the next mission as well has to do with knasot. Now, knas means a penalty, and the basic definition of a knas is any financial payment where, you know, one Jew pays to another, and the court makes them pay, not to make the plaintiff whole, but for some other reason, essentially like a penalty, some sort of like punitive clause. So the idea is that since a kanas is not there to make someone whole, it's something else. So therefore, a kanas in and by of itself would not be, if one is just seeking to, you know, get paid on a kanas, that wouldn't be the kind of case for which if one lied falsely about having testimony, he'd be on the hook for a Shavuos Eidos. Nevertheless, the examples that our mission is going to bring are situations in which there's two things wrapped together. There's a financial claim that's to make himself whole, and potentially a kanas as well. In such a case, the Mishnah will say essentially that since there's a claim regarding making himself whole, that's enough. That it doesn't matter, there's also a kanas involved. One of the points the Mishnah will deal with in a moment is the rule of kimle midarabi mine, which is a basic rule which says that if one has a situation where, you know, Reuven committed a crime, and the crime potentially has a Mises Bezdin, a death penalty involved with it, so then the rule is kimle midarab mine. We're focused essentially, to translate simply and to explain simply, we're focused on the more severe crime that carries a potential death penalty, and we're going to essentially not make any financial restitution. Let's say for the rationale is that we don't want to sort of disrespect or undermine or, you know, or lose focus of what's really important. So example, if you have a Chilul Shabbos situation, or a murder situation, say, you know, Reuven shoots Shimon and the bullet goes, you know, through Shimon's shirt and Shimon dies. So since murder is a capital crime, we're not going to, whether or not we prosecute the murderer and we take him to trial for murder, we can or can't, it doesn't matter. The point is, we're not going to make him pay for the hole in the shirt as well. Okay, that's the rule of Kimle Midaramine. And there's Machlokas Tanaim, not really explicit, but implicit in our Mishnah. Rabbi Nechuni ben Akana, the Gemara Ksuba says, held that this also applies for situations of karis. However, the halach is no. Crimes that involve karis don't have kimle v'derabine, but only mises bezin one. So, with that all in mind, Mishnah says inside, Mashpia ani aleichem im lo savo v'seiduni sheyesh li biyad ploni nezek. So, the first case, you have the plaintiff. Reuven says to his would-be witnesses, come testify about some damage that I incurred. This could be damage from Shimon's person, meaning Shimon trampled my petunias, or Shimon's property, Shimon's cow trampled my petunias. But either way, the point is that he wants to be made whole. And so he says to his would-be witnesses, come testify on my behalf of what Shimon is responsible for, what Shimon did. And they say, we don't know, we can't say, we have no testimony. And he says, so I'm putting you under oath now that you have nothing, you know, that you must come testify what you know. And they say, we didn't know nothing. Since they say we know nothing, and they were adjured, it's mipi acherim, but the point is that's shvuas edus potentially. And since nezek, damage, is really making him whole, the plaintiff, Reuven, wants to be made whole for his lost petunias, or for that matter, his broken leg, if Shimon's, you know, cow ran him over or something, so then that would, yes, have a situation where there's potentially shvuas edus. Similarly, v'chatzi nezek. Same goes for chatzi nezek. Now, chatzi nezek, in most cases throughout Kol Torah Kula, is referring to the docile farm animal like a cow, who is considered to be a tam, not dangerous, and yet it causes damage to someone else's cow, like it gores someone else's cow, and the rule is you pay chatzi nezek, half damages. That's not the case of this Mishnah, okay? Because that chatzi nezek there is indeed a knas. Okay, the chatzi nezek we're talking about over here is the case of what's called tsroros. Tsroros literally means pebbles, but it refers to when an animal causes damage, doing its usual course of action, like just walking in the street, and it creates a force, I mean, it causes indirect damage. The body of the animal doesn't cause damage, but it puts a force in motion, like kicking up a rock, and that rock causes the damage. So the rule is, and this is the halacha l'moshmi Sinai, that although it's nezek, it's damages, the owner of the cow that caused the damage indirectly only pays for half of the damage, okay? But that's a It's not a knas, okay? It's just a halacha l'moshmi Sinai that you only pay half the damages, but it's to make the person whole, or at least half, you know, whole, halfway to whole of what he lost. So again, tefias mamon, again, potentially going to be shvuas edus. Same goes for tashlumi kefel. Now, tashlumi kefel literally means the double payment. So here what happens is when a person steals, if he gets caught, so then he has to pay not just what he stole or give back what he stole, he has to also, as a penalty, knas, pay the value of what he stole in addition. So if a person steals someone's cow and then, you know, they get he gets busted out, so then he'll have to give back the cow, that's called the keren, the principal, or the value of the cow if the cow's no longer around, plus he has to give another penalty of the value of the cow. The cow's worth $100, so he gives the cow back plus $100, or gives $200. And the point is, returning the cow or returning the first $100, that's keren, that's principal, that's making him whole, and that's the kind of thing for which you do have shvuas edus, even though there's also a knas involved, the extra penalty of the double payment. That's not the point. Since it's rolled up together, you have a situation of shvuas edus here. Same goes for tashlumi arba v'chamisha, the four or five payments here when a person steals, let's say, a sheep or a cow. So then if the thief goes on to sell the stolen animal or he slaughters it, so then there's a special additional knas. Instead of paying just twice as being a thief, he pays four times if it's a sheep and five times if it's a cow. Okay, the point is, again, even though the plaintiff is seeking to get paid back four or five times, since the first of the four, or the first of the five is keren, to make him whole, would have potentially a case of shvuas edus if the witnesses, you know, lie about having and swear they don't have relevant testimony. Vishaanas ish poloni sbt. Reuven claims that Shimon was ma'anes, he raped Reuven's daughter. So the point is, if Reuven's daughter is a nara basula, she's a young girl who is, you know, never been married, so then if indeed Shimon is ma'anes her, so then he will have to pay this kanas of 50 shekel, silver shekel, whatever, to the father, Reuven. Now that's knas. But the point is, in addition, right, if she was the victim, so she would also get paid other things, like any other kind of assault and battery scenario, where she'd get paid things like the damage, the nezek that she endured, as well as the tsar, the suffering, the physical suffering, and the boshas, the emotional suffering she endured. The point is that that's making her whole. So since she's going to, there's a payment to make her whole for the damage she endured, nezek, in addition to the knas, so you have a potential case of shvuas edus. Ufita SBT, same goes if Reuven claimed that Shimon seduced his daughter. Okay, the same kind of situation going on over there. Also goes Vishikani Bni, if Reuven claims that his son hit him. Now here we're getting into Kimle Midarab Mine. The point is, if a son hits a father and he draws blood, that's really potentially a death penalty, it's a capital case. But if the son doesn't draw blood, no chabura, no bruise, So, you know, I don't know, he just slaps him in the face. So then there's no death penalty, and therefore there's a financial penalty for the usual payments that go with any time you hit somebody. And therefore, if the father is trying to collect from the son, and the witnesses deny having testimony when they're lying, again, shvus edus. Vishachaval bi chaveri, same goes, now this case, shooter the next one, vishahidlik es gidishi, if the plaintiff Reuven claims that Shimon either A, hurt him, caused him to bleed, even like stab him with a knife, let's say, or he burned down his, let's say, haystack. In both those cases, if it happens b'Yom HaKippurim, it happens on Yom Kippur. Now, Yom Kippur, the penalty is if one violates Yom Kippur intentionally and does malach on Yom Kippur, the penalty is not the same as Shabbos. On Shabbos, it is a capital case, potentially, skila, whereas when it comes to Yom Kippur, doing malach on Yom Kippur, the penalty is kares, divine excision. And since, according to our Tana, divine excision, kares, does not carry with it the rule about kimli midaramine, so therefore there would be a payment due to the plaintiff, and therefore these guys who are lying about testimony are liable for the shvuos eidus. Just worthy of note, unlike Shabbos and Yom Kippur, when it comes to regular Yom Tov, if one does a malacha on Yom Tov, mezid, the penalty would never be misa, nor would it even be kares, it would be a good old-fashioned malchus lashes. In any case, in all the cases enumerated in this Mishnah, Hare Elu Chayavin, if the witnesses do all the other criteria that need to be liable for Shavuos Eidus, having been asked before, swearing they don't have testimony, being kofer in the court, then indeed they'll have to pay for all these cases with a korban if they fess up as part of their tshuva process for Shavuos Eidus.